For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. All right, so today we're going to talk about tearing on Shabbos, tearing and ripping different objects and materials. We mentioned this and touched upon this last week, so we'll get into a little bit more. I tried to keep it short. I wanted to, but it kept getting larger and larger, so we'll go through it, and hopefully it'll be clear as we go through. Okay, the Melacha of Korea, tearing. It's one of the 39 principal Melachas. It's an Av Melacha. It is, as well, very much tied into the Melacha of Tofer, which is sewing. There are numerous melachas which are two flip sides of a coin, like building and destroying, lighting and extinguishing. So this is one of those, sewing and tearing. The reason why that is the yerios, the different curtains in the Mishkan, over time would develop certain holes over through use or through moths or different bugs would eat little holes into the cloth and have to repair them. Apparently, the best way to repair a small round hole is not to sew it directly because the round holes don't sew well. But if you ripped it a little bit and created more of a line, so then it'd be much easier to sew it in a way that would be less noticeable and more long-lasting. I never tried that, but that's what apparently was in the situation. So in the Mishkan, they would rip, and the purpose of their ripping was in order to be able to sew it up. And that is the nature of the prohibition. The prohibition is ripping, but not in a destructive manner. Like all the malachas of Shabbos, all of them have to be some form constructive. Ripping is a destructive act. Well, it's not always destructive. Then when ripping is forbidden on Shabbos is when it's being done in a constructive manner, like it was in the Mishkan, in which they would rip in order to be able to sew. It doesn't have to only be for sewing purposes. Most poskim understand, and not everyone, but the general assumption is, any type of constructive tear would be prohibited on Shabbos midaraisa. That would be a biblical prohibition of the constructive tear. So that would be, for example, you have wrapping paper and you want to wrap up a gift or cover something, so you ripped off a piece of that. What you were left with is more valuable or better than what you started with. Before, I just have this long roll. Now I got what I wanted, which was a smaller usable piece. That's the type of ripping that's aser midaraisa. Toilet paper, towel, paper towels, all of those types of ripping are midaraisa problematic because the nature of the tear, it's not destructive, it's actually constructive in providing you with something that you need better or could use better than what you had beforehand. Tearing, let me just clarify one thing because I'm going to get back to this. Tearing on the perforations are a separate problem. There is a separate malacha called mechatech, which means cutting to size. So when you rip something on perforations, not only do you have the prohibition of korea, of ripping, but you also now have, you cut something to size on a pre-cut, pre-measured amount, so you would have two malachas midaraisa if you tore toilet paper on the perforations or paper towels on the perforations. That would be two doraisa prohibitions. If you tore the toilet paper or paper towel not on the perforations, then you would only have one. Then you have our prohibition of tearing because you have constructively ripped something and you've now produced something which is usable to you. It was not usable to you before. Now it is usable. It's in a better position and state than it was prior. And that would be a biblical prohibition of ripping. Now, what if you are ripping in a destructive manner, which is most of our packaging and situations that we're going to be talking about as far as what we care about, lemaisa. So that became aser midrabbanan. The rabbis decree even destructive tearing for the reason that they were afraid you're going to want to sew it back together during a time where people would fix things regularly. So if you had ripped something, you might want to mend it, which is prohibited on Shabbos. So that was the concern. Even a destructive tear is going to be prohibited, which is going to include paper, cloth, leather, plastics, all of those materials one is not allowed to rip in a destructive manner, because they can all be somehow mended, whether it's through sewing or gluing, taping, stapling. We're not going to get into the details of that, because you can fix it. Parenthetically, I will mention at this point, the reason why I'm getting into that is because string, for example, let's say you have, I remember in New York, always the box of cookies you'd get from the bakery would come wrapped up in string. Here, they just put a little sticker along the on the top. Are you allowed to cut that string on Shabbos? You have something that's wrapped up in a string wrapping. So that you'd be allowed to do, because all you're doing is you're destroying the string. the way that it would be fixed, if you didn't want it to fix, it would be through tying a knot, not through sewing. You don't sew the string back together, it would be tied together. So cutting a string, if you have string that are tied, like two pair of shoes are held together by a string, and you wanted to cut that, or you have like a new tag hanging off of clothing, or that type of cutting is absolutely permitted on Shabbos. That you'd be allowed to cut in terms of destroying that rabbi.
But you can't cut with a scissors.
Yeah, you can do that too. Ideally, that would be... Yeah. You should use like a knife. The ideal thing is to use a knife. If you didn't have a knife that you could use a pair of scissors. We're going to get into that. It's going to be a different class of a klisha malach tole iser, which you're using for a permitted activity.
What about like string that's hanging off like a dress or something like
that?
You know?
That's separate. That's fixing the dress, as opposed to where I just have a tag hanging off. That's a different. That would be a different discussion. But the string was just a parenthetical comment. Let's get into tearing and ripping. That's really going to be our topic in the moments we have left. Now, the major exception to this, there are really two major exceptions, is a Shabbos necessity. Meaning, the principle is tearing is a malacha. The malacha is really only done when it's done in a constructive manner. However, it's also midrabanan if you did it in a destructive manner. You're not allowed to do it. Except if the reason why you're doing it in a destructive manner is because there's a Shabbos need involved in it. Chazal did not forbid tearing in a destructive manner if the reason why you need to do that is for some Shabbos purpose. Food, medicine, things like that which would require ripping in order to get to it are fine. The source of that is a Tosefta that the Mishnah Berurah quotes, that in the times of the Gemara they would have flasks of wine and they didn't have cellophane wrap or whatever we use today. So what would the tin foil? So what would they do? They had pieces of hide and they would cover their wine flasks with pieces of hide. So Tosefta writes, and the Mishnah Berurah passes this halacha, you have to rip open the hide in order to be able to get to your wine. That's the source of this concept, that you can, even though it's ripping, it's destructive. Yeah, but Chazal forbade midrabanan ripping. But you see, when you're ripping in order to be able to get to your food, then it was okay. Now, there are various reasons given exactly as to why that should be. There are ramifications to them, which we're not going to get into, but just to mention what that is, we'll go through at least two of them. And number one, the Shvisa Shabbos writes that when you have a wrapper surrounding food, the wrapper becomes like a shell, like a shell of a nut or an orange peel. The wrapper doesn't really have its own identity. It's just it's protecting the food. So when you rip that, it's really simply like taking off a peel to get to a food. And that's why that's not really considered ripping, because it's just removing the outer shell from that which you really want to get to. Chazanish says it in a little different way, that when the goal is to get to the food and not to rip the material, it loses its status of kareh. Kareh is a malacha, which means that it's an actual activity. This is not called the activity of ripping, since I only need to get to what's behind the food, the wrapper. My goal isn't to rip as much as it is I need to get to what I need to, so therefore we don't view that as an act of ripping. Be that as it may, I don't want to focus too much on that right now. The bottom line is, it is permitted to rip in a destructive manner if the goal is to get to some type of Shabbos necessity, like food, medicine, or something similar to that. As we go through some applications, there's one other exception we're going to get to. What I do want to mention is that we're not addressing ripping letters or pictures, which is going to be a separate discussion, and we're not addressing Makeh B'Patish or Asiyas Pesach, making an opening or completing the formation of something. Meaning, whenever we talk about opening things on Shabbos, there are actually several different issues involved. I'm acknowledging that there are other issues. We are only focusing on applications which address only the issue of ripping something in order to be able to get to what you need. If we're not talking about it, it's because there are other issues, and then that needs to be addressed separately, which, Mitzvah Hashem, we will get to. But there are other issues. The main thing we're talking about is, are you allowed to rip things to get to what it is that you need?
Is it preparable to open like napkins before Shabbos, or it really doesn't make a difference?
The Sfarim that discussed it say it is preferable, because we're going to see like there are reasons why we can permit it, but if you could always avoid that stuff, there's no reason why you shouldn't do it before Shabbos. But we'll see that it's going to be okay. Some things. Let's talk about that now. Okay, there's my applications. All right, let's get to number one. Box of tissues. Classic example. You forgot to open a box of tissues, and now you want to get your box of tissues on Shabbos. So what can and can't you do? So the normal way to open a box of tissues would be to rip open the perforated cardboard. How about that? That obviously you cannot do because you have the perforation issue. The ripping it is producing a box that's more usable than it was before, so you're certainly not allowed to do that. What can you do if you need a box of tissues? So you can open the entire top and bottom or the two sides, which in effect destroys the box because now the box is not a box anymore. It becomes a flat, and you can remove all of the tissues from it. Now you got to deal with your stack of tissues without a box. But I'm saying if you're desperate for tissues and they're in the box, while you can't open the perforated top, you are allowed to open it in a way that destroys the package because now I have the two things coming together. I've ripped open my box, but I've done it in a destructive manner for something that I need for Shabbos. The thing that I need for Shabbos doesn't have to be food. I need these tissues for Shabbos. So I would be allowed to do so in a scenario in which I realize, you know, winter is coming. I don't have any tissues. I need them. Kids need them. My guests need them. So that's a way that you can get to your tissues on Shabbos without having to open up the perforated top of the box. Paper napkins. What you said, I want to set my table. I have all my napkins. My napkins come in a paper, plastic-wrapped package. So it's absolutely no problem. When you rip that open, the package gets completely destroyed. And so again, it's certainly not a problem at all. You're opening up the package. The package is destroyed and not at all an issue. If you can do it beforehand, it's great, but you're allowed to do that for sure on Shabbos. The big thing is our cardboard boxes and plastic bags. This is the big discussion. Cereal boxes, potato chips, all of those areas. How do we handle that on Shabbos? So step one is there are poskim who are stringent. It's worth knowing as far as should I open them before Shabbos? The answer is yes, for sure you should. Because there are poskim who would say, let's take a cereal box for an example. A classic example. I have a box that's been sealed shut. When I slip open the top, I'm in effect now creating a box that's in a better state than it was before, because now it's resealable, and that's how it's made to be able to now be used. I've now ripped open the glue which has sealed shut my box, and therefore I shouldn't be allowed to do that unless I did it in a destructive manner. And therefore I would have to open up the top and the bottom, take out the entire plastic bag, and discard the actual box. Then what I would have to do, as far as opening the plastic bag, I would have the same problem. Because now the top of the plastic bag has been sealed shut through heat or glue together. Ripping that open would be a rabbinic prohibition of ripping opening that which has been sealed shut. And then you have to do the same thing, put the whole thing in a big Ziploc bag, open up the top and the bottom, and empty out all of its contents. That is what there are many poskim who would say you would need to do because of the fact that this is tearing and it needs to be done in a destructive manner in order to be able to do so. Meaning you're allowed to do it when it's for food purposes as long as in a destructive manner, and that's how you would get to your cereal, that's how you get to your potato chips, that's how you get to anything that's in a bag that's been sealed shut, that in order to open it, you'd have to open it from both sides and empty out its contents.
Sorry, just about that way, are the people say you have to do that, are they saying you actually have to cut it as opposed to popping it open?
No, you could pop it open and just pop it on the bottom too. Yeah.
Okay.
However, there are many poskim, Shlomo Zalman Arbach was amongst them, that distinguish between two types of bags and boxes. Those which are heavy duty, made to be reused, and made to be long lasting, and very thin, flimsy types of boxes which are intended to be discarded after a use or two.
Mm-hmm.
And in that distinction makes a very significant following halachic difference. That which we just said, that in order to open it, when you had a Shabbos need, you needed to do it in a destructive manner, that's only true is if you had a very long-lasting, sturdy type of box that was going to be reused. That now that you opened it, you've made a constructive opening, and you have a problem, so that you need to do it in a destructive manner. But most of our products that we buy and use, our cereals, our potato chips, it's a very flimsy type of cardboard. It's not intended to be reused. Even if you use a box of cereal for a week or two until it's finished, it's not intended to be reused. Plus the fact that when it was sealed in a way that was intended to be opened. We're not talking about the original prohibition of ripping is something which was never intended to be opened. You know, you make a garment, it's a garment. You have to rip it. You're doing something that was never intended to be done. The cereal boxes are glued shut with the intention of letting you, the consumer, know it has not been tampered with. It's a temporary seal, but all it takes is a little finger and you slide your finger through it, through the thing and it opens. That's how it's made. The potato chip, it's made to be able to be opened by a 4-year-old. Those kinds of very easily opened, where it was intentionally sealed in a way that it was temporary to be open, that would not be a problem of ripping at all and could be opened in the normal manner without having to worry about any Shabbos prohibitions, which would mean cereal boxes, potato chips, all of those items would be fine to open regularly without worrying about it. There are two opinions out there. You could certainly be lenient on the easier bags. The question is only when you sometimes get to bags that are not so easy to make that distinction.
Just an example of that.
So I would say like this. And again, this is just, I think they're like Terra chips. You ever buy those Terra chips? You ever try to open them? So there's some types of bags that you need to take out a pair of scissors to cut open, because when they're sealed shut, they're not sealed like a one-time use, like a single snack bag size of potato chips are made to send in a kid's lunch and you like pop them open with your pinky. There are other bags, you have to fight with them. You know, those are the bags, those bags, it's harder to make the argument that it was a temporary seal and the whole, it's just, the bag might be still be thrown out, but the argument that it was only put together in a temporary manner and they're made to be open, I don't know how they're made to be open. They're not, you need a pair of scissors to open them. They're not, you have to fight with them. So, I don't know that it's so simple that you couldn't, that to be stringent on that. But there's a line somewhere that crosses between made to be opened, flimsy type of bag, and much more sturdy, reusable type of bag that you couldn't rip open. We have much. I wasn't so sure of those types of examples. We don't buy things like that. We're in such a throwaway society. Mm-hmm. It's so rare that you buy things that you whoever thinks of reusing anything, we just throw them away.
Well, a bag of frozen strawberries, like the Costco size ones, mm-hmm. they have a zip on
right.
the top.
So
even if they don't have the perforation, sometimes you have to like cut the top off.
So again, that's what I mean in the sense of it's not right. always so obvious where we draw the line.
Right,
because
once you're done with it.
You're going to throw it. So that's what I mean to say. In other words, it gets a little blurred in my mind between the one-time use single-serve potato bag.
Right.
That's pretty clear. You know, there's a single serving in there. You open it up. The bag is flimsy. So you can see through the whole bag. It's made to be opened that way, and you throw it out. And then you have, I guess we've got to come up with a good example, something that's made to be reused many times. And then you have all these things in between that they make them in a way which you open them and then they expect you to take them out, put them in, take them out, put them in, even though it lasts a while and they're a sturdier type of bag. When does that line get crossed? Does it have to be that it's only the type of bag that even after you finish the strawberries you would put more strawberries back in? Or is it just the fact that it's clearly made it's made to be used and put in? I don't know. So, but there's a line in between there where opening it would be more of a problem. So if you got stuck with the frozen strawberries on Shabbos, specifically, you have a lot of examples of Ziploc type bags where you rip it open, then you have a Ziploc seal to be able to maintain it. I don't know.
What about like bottles? Same thing or different, like a soda juice?
Yeah, so it's going to be a part of a separate discussion, but the simple answer is the same thing. You have what to rely on to open them. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a little bit more complicated, depends on exactly the type of bottle, but the ones with the hard plastic caps, for sure you can open.
I think
you might
destroy them.
Right.
So I do that on specific types of grape juice bottles.
Right.
Which are not a separate cap. In other words, this is again why it's a separate discussion. There, that's not a cap put on top of a bottle. It was a sheet of foil that was clamped down during the production line. It never was a cap. It was a sheet of foil that they then put on it. When you take off the cap, you've now for the first time created a bottle cap. As opposed to the hard plastic, like the soda bottles today are hard plastic caps. In the assembly line, they took a cap, they took a bottle, and they shoved them together and sealed them. So when you take that cap off, all that you did is you took what had been a cap and a bottle and put together, you know, took them back apart, which is our discussion. If it was made to be done that way, it's all disposable. That's why it's a lot easier. Those grape juice, the sparkling grape juice. The Canem has now started doing that on the regular grape juice. On the sparkling grape juice, the hard cap. You see, on the most grape juice bottles today are the hard plastic cap, like a soda bottle. But the sparkling grape juice, they're still making them the old way, which was just a sheet, and then they just like sort of force it down. Now, when you then take it off, you're now holding in your hand for the first time a separate cap that exists, that's a standalone cap, which gets into a separate problem of making a kli on Shabbos. So if you poke a hole in it before you take it off, then when you take it off, I don't have a kli because it's not usable. It's a cup, it has a hole in the bottom. That's why you would do that on those types of caps.
I've seen people do that with ketan bottles. I've seen that too. Are there
The reason why they're doing that is because, as I said, there are poskim who are stringent on that also. I wouldn't say you have to do that though.
I bet a lot of people just do it because I've seen people doing it.
Right.
That's also possible.
But there's room to be lenient even on the sparkling grape juices one, just open regular.
There may be. I don't know. I would recommend putting the hole in it.
Because of makabah patesh?
Because of your CS kli, you're creating a, when you take that off, you now have a kli for the first time.
Okay.
So again, with our cereal boxes and potato things, so there's what to be lenient on throwaway disposable type bags. It's just a matter of how flimsy and how disposable does it have to be? Is it the kind of thing where it seems to me, this is where I'd be hesitant to say anything beyond what you're going to open and throw away, right? You know, like a bag that you're going to finish it and throw it away within 5 to 10 minutes if it's going to go back into the freezer for another 3 months because it's a bag of frozen straw. I'm not big enough. I don't have big enough shoulders to say that's also fine. It might be. And I could ask other post. There's a line somewhere where it becomes more sturdy and permanent and becomes a problem versus a real flimsy and one-time throwaway bag.
But this goes by what the majority would do and not necessarily you personally, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, we would establish the bag would be, yeah, I would think so.
Right.
I would think so as far as that goes. Even so, even if the strawberry bag, let's say, for example, just using that, is considered more sturdy, so then the way that you would do it would simply be taking out a Ziploc bag. You could always destroy the bag if it's a food item. That you could always do it. So the only question is whether or not you can open the strawberry bag regularly or whether or not you need to open up the top and slit the bottom and dump all the contents into a Ziploc bag. But you for sure are allowed to do that. It's not a matter that you wouldn't be able to get to the strawberries.
Yeah. Like, my father uses, like, he buys these containers of whitefish. Mm-hmm. It comes in a container. And then after he's done with it, he keeps reusing those containers for something else.
My parents.
Right.
Or just plastic containers. Is there a problem to
open? How are they sealed?
Okay, I don't know. I don't buy them.
When you first open them,
have a plastic underneath.
So that's a separate. We're going to get to that. No, that's a foil.
Yeah.
It's a protective like freshness foil.
Yeah.
So that's a step that you're for sure allowed to just peel off.
No, but it has a lid.
No, she's saying after, let's say you've gone through all the whitefish and then you put
wash
it and then you put your Brussels sprouts
in
it.
How is the lid sealed?
You didn't tear anything.
It's
yeah.
You just open it up.
That's fine.
On and off.
Okay.
Right, now that the first time you take a lid, it's fine. There's a protective like freshness seal that you're allowed off. That you're allowed to peel off.
I think these might have a pull tab.
So then, that's also a separate. That's going to be beyond.
Right, so like the homeless container that you just pop off and
Right.
That you
I think my dad's whitefish ones have a pull cap.
Right, but once I mentioned it, all of those freshness seals are fine. That you're allowed to peel off. Mm-hmm. On baby formula, on lots of different things, they have that little seal that you can pull off.
Like the ones like the orange juice, so you open the top and there's like that ring.
Yeah. Separate thing also. That's also separate. I'll tell you why.
That's not included in
it. No, that's not included in it. I'm talking about the freshness seals that are just the foil,
like
the thin foil.
Like
plastic, yeah, right, all that stuff. The orange juice containers, it's more complicated because the way they make those, I have to confirm this, I was just told, my parents just told me this today, that the way that they made them, if you look on the underside of the orange juice, it's a big piece of plastic, and the part that you pull out is a perforated hole. It's not that that's the only piece of plastic that you're pulling out. It's actually part of a much bigger slab of plastic, and they cut a perforated circle, and when you pull the tab, mm-hmm. you're cutting the perforated lines.
We're talking about the one that's like a ring.
Yeah. When you pull the ring, what's happening on the underside is with a big piece of plastic with perforations, and you're just pulling out the perforation. I have to check if that's true. Assuming that's true, mm-hmm. so then you run into the mechatech issue of cutting a pre-cut thing mm-hmm. to down to size, which is why. For Tzvi Berkowitz in Baltimore, I know holds on that you should do that with a shinoi. He tells people to take the back of a fork. Instead of pulling with your finger, put the back of the fork into the ring and pull it like that because of that issue. He wasn't sure how to deal with the way they make it.
So you're not sure you do it?
With a shino, always would make it easier. Certainly, in most situations. Unless it's always makes it easier. Let me just run through a couple more of these. Like your sugar bag. Let's say you ran out of sugar. So you have a new bag of sugar in the cabinet, but it's sealed shut with glue. So how do you open that open? How do you get that open? So that also, those bags are usually a little bit, they're disposable, obviously, when you're done. This would get us into the same discussion. Do you need to destroy the whole bag and get out a Ziploc or a container and open it into there? Or would you say that it is it's so flimsy and disposable that you could open up in the normal manner? So, again, it depends. I don't know, are you buying Kroger brand or you're buying the... right, that's where the area gets... It's definitely disposable in the sense of you're eventually going to throw it out. You're not going to reuse a sugar bag, but the bags might stick around for a long time. And they're definitely a little bit more sturdy than your potato chip, you know, snack bag. So it'd be the same discussion. Some postman would say you need to destroy it, split the whole thing open, and dump the contents into a container. And those who would be lenient would allow you to open it up in the normal manner. Your ice pop and candy bar wrappers, you should just, what's mentioned is you should not, sometimes when you roll them down and you use them to catch all of the drips.
Mm-hmm.
So that you should not do. Because then in essence, as you're ripping them open, so it's one thing just to rip them open and throw them away, they're destroyed. But if you rip them open and use them then in a productive manner, so that should be avoided on Shabbos, in which you eat the ice cream or the ice pop in a way in which you use it, you bunch it down at the bottom to catch the drip. It should be opened in a way that that gets ruined as you open it, as opposed to using it in some type of creative manner, which now becomes actually useful in the way that you opened it.
Even for that works for kids too. You can't give them their popsicle like that.
I think that's what I saw mentioned, because you're now ripping it open, which is fine for a food item, but you're doing it now in a way that's actually becoming useful, not just, you're no longer just getting, it has to fit within the reasons why you're allowed to rip it open to get to the wine. I need to get to the object behind it. Mm-hmm. Now that I'm doing it in a way in which I'm making it useful to me, just enters into a whole other
area.
So grab a napkin, that's what's mentioned as far as, you're allowed to tear and rip, but you don't want to tear and rip in a way that makes it productive.
Mm-hmm.
Band-aids are fine to open them, because they get destroyed in the process. You rip open the band, but you're allowed to do that in Shabbos. I mentioned the box drinks. You're allowed to poke your straw through the foil hole. And the same reason you're allowed to pull off this foil container. One last thing, toilet paper. So we mentioned the toilet paper is a serious issue. Whether or not you're ripping it along the perforations, you have two serious issues. If you're ripping it not along the perforations, you have one serious issue. The problem is, let's say you don't have any. So generally, it's a problem. You're not allowed to cut toilet paper. However, we get into an issue called kavod habriyos, which is, in general, looking out for the dignity of mankind. Kavod habriyos is a serious halachic concept in which Chazal allowed for serious leniencies when it comes to preserving kavod habriyos, preserving the dignity of mankind. So when you have a toilet paper issue, so it's important that we have two leniencies. Number one, because of kavod habriyos, you could hint to a non-Jew to cut toilet paper for you. If you had help within the house, generally we don't ask non-Jews to do whatever we want for us on Shabbos under specific circumstances. This is one of them. I don't have any toilet paper in the house. That's going to create a problem for me and my family and my guests. So if you had a non-Jew in the house, one would be allowed to, first one would hint and just sort of mention, hopefully you had somebody in the house who would understand your hints. We're out of toilet paper, we're not sure what we're going to do. If they don't get the hint, you are allowed to ask the non-Jew to cut the toilet paper for you. You should not ask specifically like one square, two squares, three. You wouldn't ask for them to cut it because of the separate issues of mechatech. You don't want, I need toilet paper. They can cut it wherever they want to cut it, but you shouldn't specifically ask them to do anything specific. If you don't have that option, there's no non-Jew around, you're actually in the bathroom and you realize there's no toilet paper, and now you have a kavod habriyos issue. So there's a following leniency, which is important to be aware of. This not only applies when you find yourself in the bathroom, but you realize you're about to have guests and you don't have any toilet paper. Now how am I supposed to handle the situation? So if you don't have a non-Jew around, you'll have to do the following thing. If you were to cut the toilet paper with a shinoi, so a shinoi would make it only an iser midrabanan. The Daraisa prohibition, again, is always when it's constructive. As soon as you do anything in Hilchah Shabbos with a shinoi, it always is downgraded into a Malacha Midrabanan. It's only a rabbinic prohibition as soon as you use a shinoi. So a shinoi would be something like putting it up against the floor and using like the palms of your hand to rip it, using your teeth, using your elbows, not using your hands to rip it. As soon as it becomes only a Midrabanan, the Drabanan prohibition combined with Kavod HaBriyos, the dignity of man, would allow one to actually rip toilet paper on Shabbos, not along the perforations, because that gets into too many other issues. But if you found yourself in a situation, Shabbos morning, you're about to have guests, you realize there's no toilet paper in the house, I don't have any extra tissues lying around, or what am I supposed to do? I end up in someone's home, and you're stuck. So you are allowed to do that. You are allowed to, with a shinoi, you know, roll the toilet paper out on the floor, you know, put your palms not in between two of the perforations and pull them apart. You are allowed to do that because that becomes only midrabanan. Midrabanan combined with kavod habrios allows you to do that, which is an important area where you are allowed to rip on Shabbos in one where you're generally not. And again, that's specific to toilet paper where the ripping is actually the creative act. That's what you want, as opposed to all the food items in which we're basically just destroying the food without any interest in getting the actual rip. Okay, yeah.
A question with using your teeth as a shinoi with a not on the perforated line. Are you, when you're using your teeth, can you also put your hand there to keep it steady, but then your hand sort of helping with your teeth?
Yeah, no, the question is, yeah, as long as your teeth are doing with the ripping. It's you're ripping with your teeth and not with your hands.
Right, your hands, I guess, kind of helping to pull it or keeping it steady. So, you know what I mean by like putting...
Yeah, it's fine. As long as somebody looking at you would say, what are you doing?
Yeah, okay, that's...
Yeah, that's a shinoi.
That's a good way to know, but... Thank you for the love of
God. All right, thank you. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.